Good morning, Evanston Avenue. I'm Tina, and this is Keith. Keith, where are you? Well, anyway, we want to welcome you to Evanston Avenue this morning. We're glad you are here with us, and while our ushers are coming down to collect the offering, we have a few things we want to share with you. Whether it is your first time here or you've been here for ages, there's a place for you here at Evanston.
This is good. That's right, and with more info on how you can get connected, here's Daniel.
Where have you been? And what are you eating?
Well, obviously I'm eating spaghetti. And I've been down taste testing for the spaghetti dinner after service today. I mean, our celebrity knows no bounds. Here, wait. I got some for you, too.
Oh, well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Hi, I'm Daniel, and I want to let you know how you can get more connected here at Evanston Avenue. For our kids and teens, we meet at 6 o'clock on Sundays here at the church. Teens head upstairs for hike with Miss Joy, and the kids head downstairs for Bible Times Club with Mr. Darren. For our adults, we have our men's and women's dinners and our life groups. You want to talk to Pastor Matt, Jeremy, or Jonathan for details. We're going to head out to a Rend Collective concert on April 13th. So if you're interested, talk to Jeremy for details. We currently have a lot of service opportunities available, everything from nursery and Sunday school to worship and VBS. So wherever you feel called, we have a position available for you here at Evanston.
You know, Keith, while in between bites of spaghetti, I was looking at the bulletin, and there's some really important information in here.
Oh, I know. When I want to know what's going on with the church, I always look at that bulletin. And when I want to get in touch with the church, I always fill out that handy connection card.
That's right. I use that card all the time to let the church know when I need prayer or would like someone to contact me.
Perfect. Well, why don't you fill that out and leave it on the pew when you're done? And you can do that too, or if you're more of a techie, you can find an expanded calendar and connection form on our website.
That's not all. The website is full of helpful information and resources.
We do post some pretty interesting articles and links there a couple times a week, so you are definitely going to want to check that out.
Don't forget, if you want to go back and listen to a Sunday school lesson or sermon, you can do that too. We have an archive with the audio and the slides and so much more.
So head on over to EvanstonAvenueBaptist.com or follow us on social media to stay connected.
It's almost time for Pastor Matt, but first there are a few more things to share with you.
That's right. We've been updating our photo database, and if you haven't gotten your picture taken, better luck next year.
Keith!
What? I'm just kidding. Today is the makeup picture day, so if you weren't able to get your picture taken over the past couple weeks, today is your last chance.
We will debut the new pictures on Easter Sunday.
Also, for our youth, don't forget that the dates for camp are out.
That's right, for the 9th through 12th graders, camp is July 1st through the 6th, and for the 3rd through 8th graders, camp is August 19th through the 24th.
If you would like to attend and you want to get the discount, make sure you register in the office ASAP.
March is almost over.
Yep, it sure is. All right, that should do it for announcements, so everyone can grab a pen and take out their Bibles.
And if you don't have a Bible, please feel free to take one of ours from the pews. It's our gift to you.
Now here's Pastor Matt with his sermon for Palm Sunday.
We should head down to the kitchen and continue the taste test.
Oh?
I mean, it was good, but we need to, you know, taste test each batch. And oh, the garlic bread.
Oh,
we can't forget the garlic bread.
I like how you think. Let's go.
Here's Pastor Matt.
Perfect. That works.
Yeah, they have a lot of fun making those videos, that's for sure. The ushers are going to come down. I'm going to fill you guys in on a couple of things while they're doing that. First of all, if you haven't noticed, one of these is in your bulletin, and I didn't talk about it yet. That's kind of on purpose. This is for our special Easter offering. Today is not Easter, just so you know. But this year, we are taking up a special Easter offering. We usually designate a ministry here in the community that we just want to give a little extra gift to. And this year, the recipient of our Easter offering is a ministry called Beacon of Hope, a biblical counseling ministry. It's a new ministry here in Muskegon that offers biblical licensed counseling to anyone at no cost. And so the at no cost thing is kind of important. So if you would like to support that, we will take up that offering. It'll be in the love. There'll be another envelope next week. We wanted to get that in your hands ahead of time. So if you would like to support that ministry, drop the special love offering envelope in the plate as it goes by on Easter. All right, sounds good? Awesome. A couple of other things that I do want to highlight for you guys. We do have, because it is Palm Sunday and this is something called Holy Week, we have a lot of exciting, awesome opportunities coming up. First of all, at 6 o'clock or 6:30, we'll call it 6 because that way you're either on time or early, we're going to have the Maundy Thursday service, and that's in connection with about 14 or 15 other churches. We're going to be meeting at Central Assembly of God. That's different than last year, but Central Assembly, it's kind of over there. And that's just an opportunity for us to remember Jesus during the Last Supper. It's a chance for us to see the washing of the feet and just to remember Jesus' suffering and death on the cross. On Good Friday at 1 o'clock, we have our Converge Area Churches gathering. That's at Shores Community Church, formerly known as Mona Shores Baptist. They changed their name last year, but we'll be meeting there at 1. And then we also have a special, again, community-wide Good Friday service Friday night at New Hope Missionary Baptist Church, where it was last year. It's on Yuba Street. It is an amazing service. There's dinner at 5 p.m. on Friday, and then the service is at 6. This stuff is all in your bulletin. Please make some time, my friends, because remember, everything we believe hangs on the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So this is a great opportunity for us to be reminded of that. It's a great opportunity to bring some friends so that they can hear the truth. So we just want to invite you to do that. So Maundy Thursday at Central Assembly, Good Friday at Shores Community Church at 1, New Hope Missionary Baptist at 5, and just an important time of gathering in worship and remembrance with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And then, of course, Sunday morning next week, we have Easter. So these are in your bulletin as well. These are just some handy invitation cards. I would just encourage you guys, invite people that you would love to have here so they can hear about the risen Jesus Christ. Invite your friends, your family, your neighbors. If you are online on Facebook, we have a whole bunch of things on Facebook that you can share to your wall. You can send us messages. We'll have some video stuff coming out this week as well. So just opportunities for you to lovingly invite the people you want to hear about Jesus Christ. So please make sure we're doing that this week because, hey, my friends, everything we believe hangs on this. Amen? Great opportunity to share. So let me pray for the offering. We'll pray for our time in the Word. Father, we love you and praise you. We thank you so much for all the many ways that you have lavished your love and blessings upon us. And Father, as we gather here in this time and return to you a small portion of what you have given us, Father, we ask that you receive it in the spirit with which it is given. Father, take these offerings and use them to advance your kingdom here in Muskegon and also around the world. Father, we thank you so much for your love for us, that out of that love you have communicated your word, your message to us. So, Father, as we turn our attention to the study of your word, Father, we ask again that our hearts and our lives may be transformed. May we be taken from who we are today and made into a better reflection of your grace and your glory. So, Father, as the pastor, I simply ask that any word that is from me would fall to the ground. I ask that every word that is in line with yours would take root in our heart and transform us. Father, we love you and praise you and invite your Holy Spirit to stir our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you, gentlemen. All right, my friends, we're going to be in a couple of places of Scripture today, just so that you know. And just to get a running start, we're going to be first and foremost, we're going to be in the book of Matthew, chapter 21. And it's a fun time to talk about Palm Sunday, because it is. Seemed like a good time to start. And a lot of times when we've celebrated Palm Sunday, it's usually a very exciting time. You know, in past years, we've had kids with palm branches. We've had a lot of excitement and a lot of enthusiasm. And obviously, today is just kind of a normal service. And part of that's on purpose because I just want to put this in your mind, that when Jesus was coming in to Jerusalem riding on a donkey, everyone around him was rejoicing. There's palm branches and people throwing their cloaks in front of him. They're declaring him king. It was a huge celebration. It would be like for us, you know, watching the president come into town. There's a big, you know, trumpets and fanfare, and there's all kinds of wonderful celebrations occurring. That was the attitude of the crowd. But my friends, Jesus had a very different reaction to all of it. And we would think from a human perspective that when Jesus came into Jerusalem, when he was riding on a donkey, it was the first time that he ever allowed anyone else to call him king. And if you read through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you will see that there's other times when people tried to say, hey, this Jesus guy, let's make him a king. And Jesus wouldn't have it until now. And so you would think that this would be a huge moment of celebration. And for many it was, but for Jesus had a really different reaction. He really did. So let's dive into this and try to understand this mystery of why Jesus had a different reaction. So Matthew 21, it says this, as they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell them the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away. This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. So my friends, in this moment, as Jesus is coming into Jerusalem, he's very intentionally fulfilling prophecy. He's very intentionally getting this particular type of animal. And this would have been different than what most kings would have done, because a king who would come in as a conqueror, he would ride a horse, a stallion, a war horse. And we see that image a little bit later, just so you know. In Revelation, Jesus shows up and he's riding a horse. And that's very intentional imagery, because then he's coming as a conqueror. But here, he is fulfilling a prophecy that says something else. It says, your king comes to you gentle and riding on a donkey, which is a little bit of a weird idea. And so then the disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others had cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went ahead of those of him and those that followed shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And we think, yeah, that's cool. Let's put a little bit of context to this. As Jesus is coming into Jerusalem, he's getting ready for something that's called the Feast of Passover. And the Feast of Passover is the most important holiday in the Jewish faith, and it celebrates when God delivered them out of the land of Egypt, because several hundred years before they were slaves, and during this time called the Passover, you know, the Lord set them free. And so as Jesus is coming in, it's several days before the Passover, and there'd be literally over a million people gathering in Jerusalem to celebrate this highest of days in the Jewish faith. And it meant something different in Jesus' time because, yes, it was an important celebration of what God had done. But at the same time, the Jewish nation was occupied by the Roman Empire. And so as the Jewish people were gathering to celebrate how God liberated them from Egypt, there were also many of them who were hoping and praying that God would liberate them from the Roman Empire. In the same way. So that would have been going on. And here's Jesus. And he's sitting on a donkey. And he's very intentionally fulfilling a prophecy about a king. And so the people see this and they go bananas. And they start cutting down palm branches. Which is not just because that's a convenient thing to wave. But several centuries before, that was the mark of a revolution in the Jewish nation. They had carried palm branches as their flag and as their standard. And so they start waving these things and they start declaring, you know, this is it. This is the revolution. God's going to set us free. Jesus, this carpenter from Nazareth, will be the king. And it was a huge time of celebration. And here's why. Because the people that were celebrating, the people that were gathering around Jesus, they thought that finally God was going to solve their present and pressing problem. Because in their mind, the biggest problem that they faced was Roman occupation. And they were convinced God was about to set them free from that problem. Jesus has a really different reaction, though. I want to skim a little bit with you, just so we can kind of get to this. In verse 12 of chapter 21, Jesus enters the temple. That's their holy place. That's like their church. That's like here. And he doesn't just gather and worship. He starts trashing the place. He starts kicking people out. I'm sorry, but if somebody starts trashing our church, we're probably lovingly, in the name of Jesus, going to tackle them and call the police to have them dragged out. But that's what Jesus starts doing in the temple. And he comes back the next day and he starts teaching and he starts having all these conversations. So all of Matthew chapter 21, all of Matthew chapter 22 is Jesus talking and teaching until finally in Matthew chapter 23. I want you guys to join me there. So this is Jesus' reaction to all of the fanfare and all of the celebration, all the good, exciting times. Jesus replies, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those who are sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. For I tell you that you will not see me again until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" And a similar passage in Luke chapter 19 says, literally, as Jesus was saying this, he was weeping. He was looking out at Jerusalem and he's saying, "Jerusalem, how I've longed to gather you together. And you missed it. You totally missed it." That's not the reaction that we would expect someone who's just been kind of declared a king by the crowds. That's not the reaction we would expect, but Jesus weeps. And I think it's important for us on this Palm Sunday to understand why Jesus was weeping. Because yes, he very intentionally put himself on a sign of peace, but came in as a king. But he also came in on a very important day. He came in on a very important day. And so I actually want us to jump backwards. I want us to go back to the book of Exodus, and I want to share with you why Jesus had this reaction on Palm Sunday. If you're unfamiliar with the Bible, the book of Exodus is the second book of the Bible. It's where we see this deliverance that I was just talking about, where God brings his people out of Egypt. The nation of Israel, all the Jewish people, they had been slaves in another country, in Egypt, for several hundred years. They'd been there for several hundred years. They'd been slaves for a long period of time. They had been surrounded by all of the Egyptian gods, little g gods. And it's fun because if you read through this story, you know that there's a series of plagues that take place. There's actually 10 of them. At one point in time, the water turns to blood. There's a plague of flies. There's a plague of gnats. There's locusts that swoop in. And all this is just kind of God attacking the nation of Egypt. And every time we see that, the king of Egypt, a man called Pharaoh, would harden his heart. And sometimes the Bible says God hardened his heart so that he would not let the people of Israel go. Each time there was a plague, Pharaoh would come to Moses and say, "Please make it stop. I'll let your people go." The plague would stop. And then Pharaoh would say, "No, just kidding. Your people cannot go." And it took 10 plagues. And what's fun is if you study the plagues, each of the 10 plagues is God systematically demonstrating that every one of the Egyptian gods was false. The highest god in the Egyptian group of gods was called Amon-Ra. We talk about it in Sunday school. Amon-Ra, the god of the sun, which is why the ninth plague was darkness. A darkness so thick you could feel it. That's God saying, "You think that god is something? Watch this." Poof, there it is. I made the sun. That was God's message to the people. And the only other thing that was there, the only other possibility that they had, was that the people of Egypt were looking to Pharaoh and his family, that they too, they would believe we're gods, little g gods. And so finally God says this in chapter 12 of the book of Exodus. "The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, 'This month will be for you the first month the first month of your year, tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household. If any household is too small for a whole lamb, they must share one with their nearest neighbor, having taken into account the number of people there are. You are to determine the amount of lamb needed in accordance with what each person would eat. The animals you choose must be year-old males without defect. You may take them from sheep or from goats. Take care of them until the 14th day of the month, when all the people of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. Then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and tops of the door frame of the houses where they are to eat the lambs. That same night, they are to eat the meat roasted over fire along with bitter herbs and bread made without yeast. Do not eat the meat raw or cooked in water, but roast it over fire, head, legs, and inner parts. Do not leave any of it until morning. If some is left until morning, you must burn it. This is how you are to eat: with your cloak tucked into your belt, your sandals on your feet, your staff in your hands. Eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. On that same night, the Lord is saying, on that same night, I will pass through Egypt and I will strike down every firstborn, both male or both men and animal. And I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And no destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. In this day you are to commemorate for the generations to come. You shall celebrate the festival to the Lord, a lasting ordinance. And so, my friends, when Jesus was coming into Jerusalem, this is what the people of Israel were celebrating. And here's why it matters. Here's why it's important. It wasn't just Jesus on a donkey going for a ride. He was coming in on the 10th day of the month. Jesus came in on the same day, according to this passage, when the priests and when the people of Israel would say, now is the day you pick the sacrificial lamb. Because what they would have to do is each family would have to go and they'd have to pick a lamb that was appropriate, and they'd have to take the lamb home with them. And all the pet lovers are cringing at this, I know. But they'd have to take the lamb home and take care of it from the 10th day until the 14th and then kill it and smear the blood around the door. That was the way that they celebrated this. But on the day that Jesus rode into Jerusalem was the day they were saying, this shall be the lamb. This shall be the one that prevents death from taking place. And as Jesus was coming in, yes, he was presenting himself as a king, but he was also presenting himself as a sacrifice. And as the people of Israel were saying, Hosanna! Jesus knew what they meant, because they did not accept him as the sacrifice for their sins. They accepted Jesus, they tried to accept Jesus as the solution to their present pressing problem, Rome. And that's what broke Jesus' heart. Because yes, Jesus wants to liberate people from captivity. Yes, absolutely. But the bigger captivity that Jesus wants to set people free from is the captivity of sin and death and hell. That's what he wants to break people free from. And the people of Jerusalem missed it. So what I want to do is, just so that we understand the heart of Jesus on Palm Sundays, I want to pull out for you kind of four truths about Passover that we need to wrestle with and understand. And the first one is this, is that the sacrifice prevents death. Because for the people of Israel, they had to take this cute little lamb, take care of it for 4 days, and then the sacrifice was designed to prevent the judgment of death from falling on them. And that should bother us just a little bit. Because the Israelites and the Egyptians were both under the same penalty. God knew who the Israelites were. It's not like it was a mystery to God. Which ones are my people again? Was it them or them? I keep forgetting. God knew who the people were. So why did Israel have to do any of this? Because they, my friends, were under the same judgment as the Egyptians. And our minds hear that and we think, that's not fair. They were the slaves. They're the victims here. Why are they under the same judgment? And the understanding is this, that while they were in Egypt, they had stopped worshiping God in heaven, and they had started to engage in the worship practices of the Egyptians around them, which is why God had to systematically destroy each one of the Egyptian gods and show that God is nothing, and that God is nothing, and that God is nothing, all the way down the line. So that both the nation of Egypt and the nation of Israel, we know that Yahweh is God. But as a result of being unfaithful to the God of heaven and earth, Israel was under the same penalty, the penalty of death. Because if they didn't have the blood on their doorframe, they would suffer the same results. And the sacrifice of the lamb was the way that death and judgment could be prevented. So we see that here in Exodus chapter 12. We also see this, very briefly, we see that the sacrifice is prescribed by God. That's important. God didn't just say, do whatever you want. He didn't. And if you look at a lot of ancient, you know, cultures, they had no idea what their little g gods wanted because their gods weren't real. But the God of heaven said, okay, judgment is coming. Here's how you prevent it. You take this lamb, you do this, here's the steps, here's, I mean, what we were reading in Exodus 12 was exactly what they had to do to prevent the judgment of death from falling upon them. Had to take the lamb, bring it in your house, take care of it, feed it, love it, know it for 4 days, then kill it, drain the blood out of it, and wipe that blood all around your door. It's really gross, yes, I know. But they knew exactly what to do because the sacrifice was prescribed by God. Death is on its way. Here's how you prevent it. Okay? And I think this is important too. The sacrifice took a personal choice. All the other sacrifices, if you read through the Old Testament, every other sacrifice, the people took the sacrifice to the priest and said, here, you do it. Everyone. Take the goat, take the bull, take the birds, whatever the sacrifice was. You bring it to the priest did the dirty work. But for this one, they had to make the choice. They had to say that I will sacrifice this lamb. They had to do it. They had to do the dirty work themselves. Personal choice. And my friends, it's not an easy choice because for them, lambs and sheep and livestock and goats, that was money. You want to know who was rich? Who's got the biggest flock? That's the rich guy. And so it'd be like me handing you $1,000 and saying, here you go. You just hold on to this $1,000 cash for 4 days, and then when you're done, I want you to give it away. Now, we all think we would do the right thing. Amen? We'd all start having a really interesting tithing conversation and say, well, did he mean the whole thousand or can I just get part of it? Because it was a personal choice to give the entire lamb. And then last but not least, the sacrifice required faith. Just think about it. You've just seen God for 9 plagues do horrific things. And the worst one's coming. So here's what you need to do. Wipe some blood. Really? That's it? I don't need to bar the door or sing a song. Oh, just the blood. That's all you need to do. In order for death to be prevented, in order for judgment to pass over them, it required the faith to believe that, yes, I have to do this, and yes, this will be sufficient. And they had to believe that, you know, the judgment was coming. And it wouldn't just be on the Egyptians. It would be on everybody. Unless you had the blood. So my friends, it's important for us to realize these things because as we come into the story of Jesus and as Jesus was coming into Jerusalem, all these same things are true. The sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the perfect lamb, prevents death. When Jesus came in, that was his whole mission, was to prevent eternal death. We read this in God's word. We read that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and the wages of that sin is death. So if you are here, if you are a human being, we were born sinful. We were born deserving death. And there is one opportunity that we have to prevent death. And that is the sacrifice that is prescribed by God. Because the human condition that we are in naturally is to be separated from God by the presence of sin in our lives and to be destined for an eternity in hell. But he gives us a prescription. And John the Baptist, he actually labeled it well when he saw Jesus coming. He says, the next day John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is the sacrifice that was prescribed by God." And as you study Jesus Christ through the pages of Scripture in the Old Testament and the New Testament, we realize that Jesus Christ, who walked this earth 2,000 years ago, was exactly the prescribed sacrifice for us. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And it even says this in Hebrews. It says that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Somebody's blood has to be shed for your sin and for my sin to be wiped away. And here's what I love about the story of Jesus. Jesus put his hand in the air and said, "Take mine. My blood for yours. Take mine." Because that's the weird part about it. Palm Sunday, for us, we treat it like a celebration, and Jesus was weeping. And for us, we look at Good Friday and we say, "This is a tragedy." And Jesus says, "No, it's a victory." Because he stood up and said, "I will give my life for yours." So that the blood could be shed. All of it for you and for me. All of it. That's the sacrifice prescribed by Jesus. And that sacrifice absolutely requires faith. It does. Just like the Israelites, they had to believe that judgment was coming and that they had to put the blood on their door so that the judgment would pass over them. We have to have that same faith in Jesus Christ. This is what we read in Scripture. We read that you are saved by grace through faith, and this is not from yourself. It is God's gift, not from works, so that no one can boast. I can't shed my own blood to forgive my own sins. I have to believe and have faith in Jesus Christ. That he is the sacrifice. And that's why we end with this one. That much like the people in ancient Egypt waiting for the Passover, for you and I, it still takes personal choice. We read these words. We often read John 3, verse 16. This is John 3, 17 and 18. It says, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." Anyone. And if you want any verse and any word to circle and highlight and underline and put stars around in your Bible, if you don't have a Bible, grab one from the pew, circle this word, put stars, highlight it. The word is anyone. It's not some, it's anyone. And as I've talked to people who have come from incredibly broken and painful backgrounds saying, "How could God love me? How could God forgive me?" Say, "Are you anyone?" That's how. God's love for you is so much greater than the possible scope of any of the sin or any of the brokenness in your life. Anyone who believes in him is not condemned. But anyone who does not believe, unfortunately, is already condemned. And so, my friends, as Christians, we say on this Palm Sunday, we say that there is a judgment coming, and the judgment is death, and the payment is steep. But for anyone who believes in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, the judgment passes over, and the newness of eternal life becomes present in us. But we must choose. We must choose. Place faith in Jesus Christ. The sacrifice that gives us life. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we cannot begin to fully understand or appreciate the depth of the sacrifice that you have made for us. We can't begin to understand the pain that you went through on our part. We can't begin to understand what it was like to leave heaven and to come here. We can't begin to understand all that you suffered, but all we can say, Lord Jesus, is thank you. Thank you, thank you for taking my place on the cross. Thank you for paying the price for my sins so that I can have the eternal life that I don't deserve. Father, thank you for loving me. Thank you for loving each of us. Father, for anyone in the sound of my voice that does not know you as their Lord and Savior, Father, I just pray very gently for your Holy Spirit to prompt their heart to put their trust and faith in you, to choose you. If that's you this morning, I just want to give you a very simple opportunity. Every eye closed, every head bowed. I'm not going to embarrass anyone or make them stand up or anything like that. Just if the Holy Spirit is prompting your heart to place trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want you just to pray this prayer with me. Pray quietly. You don't have to yell it. Just very softly in your heart. Pray this word. Lord Jesus, I love you. Lord Jesus, I know that I have sinned in my life. And I choose to accept you as my Savior and my Lord. Jesus, thank you for taking my sins away. Thank you for giving me eternal life. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So my friends, I know I do this from time to time where I give people a chance to respond. I know we have spaghetti. It'll wait. Amen? And that's for everybody. I know like we're getting in position to we're ready to go, aren't we? Amen? The food will wait. I checked with Debbie. None of it's moving. It's all there. So do me a favor. Would you please stay with us while we finish worshiping? And if you have prayed to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I would just love to talk with you sometime before you leave today. It can be during the worship time here. It can be after service. It can be downstairs during spaghetti. I would just love to hear what God has been doing in your life. And if you have any questions about what I'm talking about, if you want to pray about anything, same thing. I'll be here during the worship. I'll be downstairs. Grab me anytime. But for right now, let's stand and worship. If you would be so kind, let's stand and worship Jesus Christ, and then we'll have a great time of fellowship together.
By grace alone, somehow I stand, where even angels fear to tread. Invited by redeeming love, before the throne of God above, He holds me close with nail-scarred hands into His everlasting arms. When condemnation grips my heart and Satan tempts me to despair, I hear the voice that scatters fear. The great I am, the Lord is here. Oh, praise the one who fights for me and shields my soul eternally.
Spotless righteousness. next part says, this is the art of celebration, knowing that you are free. If you are free this morning, lay it all out there. This is the art of celebration. We are free from all condemnation. We are free from doubt and fear and worry. We are free this morning. Amen? This is the art of that celebration. Thank you, Jesus. This is the art of celebration, knowing we're free from condemnation. Oh, praise the one, praise the one who made an end to all my sin.
Sing it again. This is the art.
This is the art of celebration, knowing we're free from condemnation. Oh, praise the one, praise the one who made an end to all my sin. Boldly I approach your of majesty we run.
One day the trumpet will sound, for it's coming. One day the skies with his glory will shine. Wonderful day, my beloved one bringing. My Savior Jesus is mine. Freely forever. One day he's coming, a glorious day, oh glorious day.
One day they led him up Calvary's mountain.
One day then heaven was filled with his praises. One day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt among men, my example is he. The Word became flesh and the light shined among us, his glory revealed. Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away, rising he justified. One day they led him up Calvary's mountain. One day they nailed him to die on a tree. Suffering anguish, despised and rejected. Bearing our sins, my Redeemer is he. The hands that heal nations stretched out on a tree and took the nails for me. Living he loved me, dying he saved me.
day the grave could conceal him no longer. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
One day the grave could conceal him no longer. One day the stone rolled away from the door. Then he arose, over death he has conquered. Now is ascended, my Lord, evermore. Death could not hold him, the grave could not keep him from rising again. Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins away, rising he justified.
With great anticipation for that glorious day when you send your Son to come get us. Father, we cannot wait to see the glory and majesty of your kingdom. So, Father, we love you and we praise you. We thank you for the hope that we have in our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And, Father, we want to celebrate that resurrection so well next week. So, Father, we just ask your Spirit to go ahead of us. Spirit, prepare conversations, prepare invitations that people would say yes. So, Lord, that we can celebrate the hope eternal we have in you. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. My friends, you're welcome to join us downstairs. Head on down, grab a seat. We'll pray once everyone's down there. But do me a favor, because we're Christians and we love each other, if somebody has a tough time getting around, if they have a walker or if they're a little bit less able to spring to their place, could you let them go first? Would that be cool? All right. Let me give you this blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you, be merciful unto you in all things, give you peace. Amen.